Good afternoon and welcome to our Good Friday service here at Calvary Chapel of the High Desert. And as Blake reminded you, I hope you got your communion elements ready. And I'm going to just share a message and then we're going to go right into communion as we spend this time together remembering what the Lord Jesus did on the cross for us. And so let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for the cross. Lord, the most wonderful thing that ever happened to humanity. Though it is a foolish, Lord, to those who are perishing, to us as believers, it is the power of God to everlasting life. And so I pray, Lord, that as we spend this time together, as we look, Lord, at what was accomplished on that cross for us, and the reason that we call this Friday Good Friday, Lord, it's because of your love for us and what was accomplished on that cross that makes it good. And so, Lord, we pray that you would bless the teaching of your word. God, that you would give us ears to hear what your Spirit says. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone, Lord, that is viewing, that has not yet given their lives to you today, that they might come and respond to the offer of forgiveness and salvation, the power to live in victory and to banish fear and bring you glory available through the presence and the power of your Holy Spirit. So bless this time now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When you mention Good Friday and the cross, well, for many, they only think about the horror and the brutality. And certainly that would be accurate when we look at what Jesus experienced on that cross. But it wasn't something that was out of God's control. He didn't just die haphazardly, randomly. You see, it was a plan of God because of his love for you, his love for me, for man. That love, you see, continued even though man rebelled there in the Garden of Eden. God in his love continued to connect with man and seek to draw men back into fellowship, that which was broken in the garden, that it might be restored, that relationship. And so here as we gather on Good Friday, you see, this whole thing was prophesied. Exactly what Jesus was going to do was all planned out, you see, 700 years before Jesus died on the cross, before he went and gave his life there to redeem us. He revealed, you see, to Isaiah just how good this plan would be ultimately. How do we know, or what did he say? Well, it says in Isaiah 53, if you have your Bible, turn there. Isaiah 53, that's in the Old Testament. And we are going to begin in verse 1. And Isaiah, we read here, "Who has believed our reports? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he," speaking of Jesus, "shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. And he has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him." First and foremost, as the prophecy reads here, Jesus did not have any kind of aura or glow. He didn't necessarily look like a Charlton Heston and kind of radiate this, you know, kind of light and hover around or anything like that. He, it says here, has no form or comeliness, no beauty when we see him that we should be impressed by his physical appearance. We also see here that he was despised in verse 3 of Isaiah 53 and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and yet we esteemed him stricken and smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For transgressions or sins of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. Because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Now listen to this. Verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. We call it Good Friday because there in verse 10, we read that it pleased the Father. Jesus didn't come to please humanity. He came to please the Father. It is the good pleasure of the Lord, you see, to offer, to make a way for us, to restore, to redeem, to bring us out of the slavery of our sin. That our fellowship with Him, our connection with our Creator, would be established again. That which was broken by Adam and Eve there in the garden. It grieved man, or it grieved God rather. And it set man on a path of destruction. That grieving heart of God, seeing man destroying themselves and headed down the wrong road and becoming enslaved in sin. It brought joy to the heart of the Father. And it brought renewal and redemption to man when Jesus hung upon that cross. The stamp of approval, the validity seal, reality and power was gained, you see, for us when Jesus rose again from the dead. You see, that is a demonstration of His authority. That what he said he would do all along, and he would tell the disciples that repeatedly, I'm going to die, and in 3 days I'll rise again from the dead. You see, he was establishing that authority. We don't worship a dead teacher of religion. We worship the living God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, the God-man who went to the cross for you and for me. You see, the celebration of the resurrection of Easter is the consequence of Good Friday. Think about it. There would be no Easter Sunday without Good Friday. There would be no resurrection without death on the cross. There is no conquering of death and taking away the sting, except there be a resurrection. Without Jesus being raised from the dead, we would have a Savior perhaps, but not a Lord. Jesus is Lord and Savior. You see, that's key. The Lord is someone who is living and all-powerful and almighty, sovereign. A Savior is someone who died to pay the price. And there in verse 4 of Isaiah 53, it says, "Our griefs He Himself bore." He took what we deserve for our sin. Our sorrows. We don't have to live as in a state of hopeless sorrow. He has carried our sorrows, you see. It's a fact known around the world in one way or another that Jesus has risen from the dead. Many, not only us here in this locality, but around the world today, of our brothers and sisters are celebrating and commemorating what Jesus did on the cross. What was accomplished there? Well, think about this. Is there a grief in your heart, in your life today? Whatever that may be, know that Jesus died on the cross so He could minister to that need of grief. So that He could reach down where you're at to the depth of pain, because God Himself in Christ lived among us. So He knows how it feels if you lose a loved one. If there's a broken relationship, He knows the depth of your pain. He was afflicted so that He might identify with our sorrows. We have a high priest, the Bible says, that is not afar off, but He is one who has lived among us and walked among us and felt what we felt, struggled with the struggles that we struggle with. And yet, here's the distinction, He is without sin. He never faltered, never failed to be obedient to God. He was pierced through, verse 5 there in Isaiah 53 says, "For our transgressions He was crushed, for our iniquities, so sin no longer has power over us." Are you disobeying the Lord in any way? Perhaps you're listening to me today and you're struggling right now. You're entangled in sin. And you're carrying the weight of that. Are you seeking forgiveness? Maybe there's a friend or somebody that you've wronged and you've gone to them and you've asked them to forgive, but they have not been willing to do so, and you're carrying around the weight and the consequence of your sin and failure. Good Friday, today is a day to remember the power of the cross. You see, in Christ, the Bible says, we are new creations. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. The chastening for our well-being was placed upon Jesus. And that's why Jesus could say to the disciples there, He says, "My peace I give to you." Jesus isn't up in heaven going, "Oh man, I didn't know anything about this coronavirus. What? He's not yelling at the angels going, "What happened? Things are out of control." Jesus has perfect peace. And listen, He wants us to enjoy that peace and to recognize that we can enter into that and live in that peace because of what He has done on the cross. We don't have to. Yes, we've failed. We've all failed. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But we don't have to live under the condemnation of that failure. We have been assured forgiveness and eternal life. Does the enemy have you bound in guilt, condemnation, shame, depression, anxiety, fear. Remember the cross. Remember the sacrifice. Remember the power of the resurrection that was displayed there as Jesus, you see, rose again from the dead, and His power is more powerful than any sin. If He can raise from the dead, that beats any sin that you can commit. He's got the power to give you victory. You don't have to walk around in fear, because in His sovereignty, He is in control of every situation. You don't have to be overwhelmed. The Bible says when our hearts are overwhelmed, do what? Lead me to the cross. The cross that we're talking about today. Sit at the foot of the cross where Jesus hung, bled, and died for you. That you might not live in fear. That you might not live without power. The enemy has been disarmed at the cross. You see, all his schemes and all his deception, God in His Word has given to us His tactics. And He has shown us how we can live in victory. How we don't have to live in the fear and the condemnation of our own failure. And we all fail. I fail. You fail. I wish I could say today that, you know, I've been a Christian, for many, many years now. And I did, when I was a younger Christian, thought, well, once I get to a certain age, I will reach clear and I will no longer sin. Well, I'm at a certain age right now. I'm 68. And when it comes to sin, guess what? I'm not doing that great. I still struggle just like you do. That's why I'm so thankful for the cross. You see, here in Isaiah 53 in verse 6, it says, listen, all of us like sheep have gone astray. We have gone away and turned our own way, doing our own thing, headed down that road. But guess what? God in His love sent His Son Jesus to die in our place, to the Lamb of God, who the Bible says takes away the sin of the world. Today is the day that we allow the power of the cross to be appropriated in our lives, to be exerted in our lives. Today is the day that we return to the feet of the shepherd here at the foot of the cross, to remember that there is no temptation that has taken us. No sin that we are confronted with that is not common to man. Sin is common. But listen, God is faithful, the Bible says, who will give us the ability to have victory over that. Jesus, of course, being the one who demonstrated that. He died on that cross and He conquered sin and He conquered death. Why? So that you and I, as we believe and put our faith and our trust in Him, His presence, His power, and His finished work on the cross, that we might live in newness of life. The resurrection power, the same power that brought Jesus out of that grave, is the same power that we have as believers in Christ to help us walk in obedience, to live a life of joy and peace, even in the midst of the present crisis that we are facing. You see, we just simply need to bring everything. All our fears, all our struggles, all our sorrows, all our rebellion and disobedience, all our wanderings away. Sometimes we stray off and we need to get back to the foot of the cross. The place where we find grace and forgiveness and love poured out. You see, it takes away the fear of living life. It takes away the fear of death. Death is different for those of us who are believers in Christ. Because Jesus rose from the dead after He died on the cross, death died when? When Jesus rose. No more fear of death. I'm not saying I walk around with a death wish. I don't go, I'm not Eeyore. Oh, all gonna die. Let's all die. Come on. Some of you may have that propensity. None of us are going, hey, it'd be great to die today. I'm not suggesting that in any way. What I am suggesting is when my day comes and yours will come, there is not one person who will not face and walk that path, that we're never alone in it, and He will usher us in as believers, as we put our faith in the finished work of the cross, in the resurrected Christ. You see, we are connected with Him, and we have that assurance. Because our sins are forgiven, we have that assurance that when we die here, we go immediately into the presence of God. And that's why communion. Jesus wants us to be reminded, to remember the love that was displayed for us in what He endured and the sacrifice that He made on that cross. So we come today to the communion table. We respond to His invitation. He says, as often as you do this in remembrance of the price I paid for your sin. You see, I canceled out that payment when I paid. I paid for you, because you can't pay for yourself. You'll never be good enough. You'll never be smart enough. You'll never be liked well enough by people. You see, to get your sins forgiven, you have one way that your sins can be forgiven, and that is to place your faith in the One who died in your place. He paid your sin debt. Something that you couldn't pay. He was the sinless, perfect Son of God who kept the law of God completely. We are lawbreakers. He stepped in before the Father and He said, hey, I paid for Dennis Davenport. I canceled the debts for his sin. Yes, he's a sinner, but I am the Savior. And I paid what he could never pay. I lived a perfect life, a sinless life, and I died in His place. I was treated, Jesus treated like a sinner and shamed and beaten, and vengeance was brought upon Him that I deserved. He took what I deserve, what you deserve for our sin. And He's invited us. Never to forget that as we come to the table, we do it in remembrance of Him. We do it as part of the family of God. We are a family. We are the bride of Christ, the church. And so the invitation is issued to family to come and join in the celebration of the amazing grace of God and that demonstration in His death on the cross, in your place, in my place. But before we come to the table, perhaps there is someone here who is not a child of God. You haven't been born again. You haven't given your life to Jesus Christ and received the sacrifice that He made on the cross. You haven't put your faith and your trust in Him. Again, He died on that cross in your place so that you could have your sin forgiven, so that you wouldn't live in fear under condemnation, so you could have the guilt taken away and break free from the slavery and the power that sin has on you and have new life. Listen, if you haven't made that step yet, we'd love for you to join with us in this meal of communion. But before you do so, you need to come and you need to give your life to Jesus Christ. You need to put your faith and your trust in Him. You need to be born again. And today, if you're not certain of that, I want to give you an opportunity to do so, to come to Christ and to have your sins forgiven and to be a new person and live in the power and the victory and the authority that only Jesus can bring as you come to your Creator, to your Savior, to your God, and put your faith and trust in what He's done for you. You say, well, what do I need to do? Well, first of all, you need to realize you're a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Most of you probably already know that. For the few of you that may go, not me, I'm a good person. Well, you know, why don't you ask somebody that's close to you if you've ever hurt them or done something that, you know, was stupid or wrong or responded in a wrong way. Maybe ask your wife, your kids, maybe your husband. Maybe they can help you out with that if they dare. Listen, we're all sinners. Every one of us have broken the law of God. You take the Ten Commandments and you put them out, and we are all lawbreakers. If you've broken even one of them at one time in your life, then the Bible says you've broken the whole law. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We can't get it together apart from Him. Secondly, you need to recognize that Jesus died on the cross for you. We read, while we were yet sinners, before we even knew or cared about God, He died out of a love for us, out of a desire to connect and come into fellowship with us. Christ died for you when you didn't care. Christ died for you when you mocked Him, when you were, you know, giving people a hard time about Him. Jesus loves you and died for you. So you need to recognize that. And then thirdly, you need to repent of your sin. God has commanded men everywhere to repent. What's that mean? That means to be willing to turn from the road that you're on and turn and come to Christ. Make a U-turn in your life. And instead of pursuing your own thing and doing your own thing and pursuing pleasure, pursue Jesus Christ. And live your life for Him. Turn around. Be willing to change direction. And then you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says, to as many as received Him, to them He gave power to become the sons, the daughters of God. So if you haven't done that yet, and you'd like to do that, you know what? I want to lead you in a word of prayer right where you're at, in your home there, whether you're watching TV or on your tablet up in your room or whatever. It's a prayer that's just between you and the Lord. And I'm going to lead you in this prayer. And I want you to pray this prayer out loud after me. And it's a prayer asking Christ into your life. And if you pray this prayer and you mean it, the Bible says that you will become a brand new person. You can have a brand new start. You can have a clean slate and have your sins forgiven. You can have new life by just calling on the name of the Lord, as the Bible says, and you'll be saved. So that's all I'm going to do. I just want to help you call on the name of the Lord. So before we enter this time of communion, we'd love you to join us, but it's only for family. And so I want to give you this opportunity to become part of that family so that you can celebrate your first communion, remembering what Jesus has done for you on the cross. So I want you to pray this prayer aloud after me. It's a prayer asking Christ into your life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner and that I need You, Lord. Thank You for sending Your Son Jesus to die on the cross in my place. Come into my life. Be my Lord and be my God. Thank You that from this day forward, My sin is forgiven. And I'm your child. And I have the hope of heaven. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. And we know that right now in heaven, even though you can't hear it, maybe there's some people in your house that are celebrating that you prayed that prayer. But we know this, that the angels in heaven, the Bible says, rejoice over only one sinner that comes to repentance. And so you now, if you prayed that prayer, have given your life to Jesus Christ, and you are a new creation, and you have a new start and a new life. And so we are rejoicing with you. And now we're going to enter into this time of communion. And as I've said, it's a picture of the power of the cross. It's a celebration of the fact that we have been forgiven. We have been made whole and brand new. We are no longer slaves to fear, to guilt, to sin, to shame, to addiction or depression. There is no condemnation now. We are clean because of what Christ has done on the cross. And so we remember that. Behold, all things are made new. And so we have His peace and His joy that He gives to us. And so as we remember Him and what He's done for us on that cross, we just want to just take some time and meditate on His goodness and His grace. Again, it's Good Friday because of what God has done in bringing us into relationship with His Son. So get the elements ready and let's pray. Lord, we now ask You to bless this time as we, Lord, remember what You've done, as we take the elements that have been prepared here, Lord. God, we remember the night as You took the cup. And so let's take the bread rather. And You said, this is My body that is broken for You. As often as you eat of this bread, do it in remembrance of Me. And so Jesus took the bread when He was gathered there with His disciples. And He wanted them to never forget how His body was beaten and bruised. He was brutalized. He was beaten to the point of death before He even hung on that cross, as that Roman whip that was several leather straps with bone and metal sharpened, embedded in that whip. They would rip open the back with each beating, with each thrash of that whip. And Jesus' back was just torn to shreds. He was beaten 39 times. The purpose, of course, of that beating on His body was to get the criminal to confess. And many would confess if they had committed a crime before they got very far down the road by way of beating. But because Jesus was the sinless Son of God, He had no crime to confess. And so He quietly, as we read there in Isaiah 53, silently endured that beating. And He did it so that, as the Word says, those stripes He took that we might be healed. And so as we take of this bread today together and remember the body that was beaten and bruised, He was mocked and spit on. You see, He was taking our place. He was taking what we deserve in His body. And so maybe you need a touch. Maybe you need a healing today. You know what? As we partake of this bread, allow God to do that work. And ask Him, Lord, touch me, heal me. Let's pray before we partake. Lord, we thank You for this bread that represents Your body. And Lord, I pray now that, God, as we gather in our homes, Lord, God, You know the need that we have for healing. Lord, I pray that if there's any sick today, God, and we know that there are many that have this COVID-19, God, we pray for Your healing hand to be on them. We thank You, Lord, that You took those stripes and that beating in Your body for the purpose of bringing healing. And Lord, not only healing physically, but healing of your body, the believers in church, Lord, the body of Christ, Lord. If there's brokenness in relationships, if there's somebody that we have sinned against and we haven't dealt with that area, Lord, I pray today that this would be a reminder for us to go and seek forgiveness, to bring restoration to that and connection to that relationship that's been broken. Lord, we thank you for this bread. And Lord, we partake of it now in the name of Jesus. Let's partake together. Lord, now we pray as we have this cup representing your blood, Lord, the juice that was, Lord, a reminder that the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. Lord, we thank you that you shed your blood. We thank you, Lord, that you died the death that we deserve. And that blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, as your word says, cleanses us from all sin. Because your blood was shed, because you died in our place, Lord, we can walk in newness of life. Lord, we can walk, Lord, as those who are living in victory, walking joyfully, because there is no condemnation. There is no interruption, Lord, of our fellowship with you. And Lord, you've forgiven our sins past. You've forgiven our sins present. And God, you've forgiven our sins future. Lord, we thank you for that blood that cleanses us from all sin, that can take away, Lord, the condemnation, that has purchased us out of the slave market to sin, and how you've made us a new creation in you. So, Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's partake of the cup together. Lord, now we thank you for this time that we could spend together. And Lord, I pray for each one, Lord, that is hearing my voice right now, Lord, that you would just continue to strengthen them. God, I pray for the church here, Calvary Chapel of the High Desert, Lord, that we are praying, Lord, that very soon that you would do that work of eradicating this virus, Lord, that we might come together and, Lord, hug one another and just worship, Lord, together as a body of believers. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that even in this time we have the ability to do what we're doing and connect in this way through the technology. But, Lord, how we long for that day, increasingly, where we can come and hug one another and pray with one another and just be worshiping together again. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your love. Thank you, Lord, for those that you brought to yourself today. And Lord, we look forward to the celebration on Sunday of Easter, the celebration of the resurrection, that work on the cross, that tomb did not hold Jesus, but that he rose again, that we might have victory and live for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's close with a worship song.